Tonight I'm doing small children. What do I mean by small children? You know, infants to like second-ish, third-ish grade. That's what I kind of in mind. But that's fuzzy on the back end. Front end, it's very firm. Now, I said last week that, well, here, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, the way you give us wisdom, the way you instruct us, and the way that we should go. We know how important it is for us to be faithful in parenting, so we pray that you would bless this teaching tonight from your word. Father, but beyond that, Lord, we ask you to sovereignly bless us. We need your grace. We need the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives and especially in the lives of our children. For them we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned that at the end of last week that there's three main objectives we have in child raising. And if these things can be accomplished in our children, well, we've got a pretty good job. And that they are obedient, submissive to authority, that they have godly character, and that they have a personal and strong relationship with the Lord, right? That's what matters. If they want to be rocket scientists, praise the Lord for that. If they want to be, you know, something else that's not sinful, fine. But these things matter. Well, I'm going to correlate those three to each of the stages. And it's not, tonight I'm going to focus on training obedience. And it's not that we're not working on character in little children. For instance, we need to be reading the scriptures to our children now, wherever you are, praying for and with our children. But the primary parenting objective, and we're saying, okay, we have a child. Beyond, you know, clothing the child and loving the child and all that stuff and toys and all, what are we trying to accomplish? The answer is obedience. That their hearts, their wicked hearts, their sinful, wicked, vile hearts would be brought into subjection to authority. Now, they're beautiful, but let's not be romantic, right? People say, you know, Pastor, I have questions about the doctrine of original sin. Can you explain it to me? I go, yes, but then I want you to go work in the nursery Sunday morning, and that'll explain it to me. As David said, yea, I was born in iniquity. And so the Bible's very clear that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And, you know, honestly, it's going to be right for later on. We need to learn as little children to be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Lord, help people who are not trained to obedience in their early years. Now, God can do great miracles, but normally speaking, those tender years are the times when the soul, the heart, is trained for obedience. And if it's not then, we got problems. Do everything without arguing and complaining. And so the primary goal that we're focusing on in this sense for small children is that they would learn to obey. And it's not like, okay, when am I done with this? Well, we're never done with this. But there's a training process where we're trying to bring a yieldedness of their spirits. Now, well, how do we do this? Well, the answer is discipline. Now, I looked in the dictionary, some good things. Discipline is training to act in accordance with rules. It's a good discipline, good definition. We're training our children to act in accordance in rules that we're going to give them, not their own rules. Little Johnny, what rules would you like? You know, well, I get to go first all the time. That would be Johnny's rule. If he was in my household, it would be. No, we're not asking Johnny. We are telling them what the rules are. God's giving us the rules. We're training them to act in accordance with them. And discipline is punishment inflicted by way of correction and training. Amen. Discipline requires the infliction of punishment. And we are seeking to bring a state of order and obedience by training and control. Good definitions. Well, I probably don't have to persuade you too much, but just in case, let me try. Why is it necessary? Well, the scriptures say, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. And according to the scriptures, parental discipline, parental training involving punishment, is a manifestation of parental love. And of course, the book of Hebrews is going to pick up on this and say, the same is true for you and your relationship with God the Father. It's because he loves you. You probably heard me tell the story of a particularly noteworthy plane flight I was on a few years ago now. and I was on the aisle where I like to be, and there was a father, he was in the middle seat, and there was like a 4-year-old boy in the window. And it was a pretty long flight, and I think it was, you know, it was transcontinental. And so we were there for 3-4 hours, and this child was an absolute monster, and the things he was saying to his father, and he's hitting his father, and his father's just bribing him, you know, the whole time. And, oh, hang in there, be nice, don't hit me anymore, sit in your seat, I'll let you watch TV for a month, you know. And I was this close to saying, excuse me, sir, but I'm a licensed father, and I have, I'd be happy to take your child to the airplane toilet and spank him. Here's my ID. Why didn't I do that? It's not my boy. I don't have the, really don't have the right. On the other hand, I don't really care that much. I mean, it's only I can endure a flight for. I can endure anything on a flight for 3-4 hours almost. And I'm just not that motivated. I don't have the right, of course. That's really why I don't want to just go around rebuking people on planes. But at the end of the day, I'm going to get off that plane. I'm never going to see that rotten little kid again. But Hannah, Matthew, Jonathan, Ellie, what's the fifth one's name? No, I know. I'm joking. Lydia. They're my children, and I love them. Them I discipline. Now, it's also necessary because of the nature of the heart, which is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Now, I think we have it in our minds that it ought to be a level playing field in parenting. Is it a level playing field? It is not. It is grotesquely tilted in the direction of sin. How much effort does it take to train your children to say things like, thank you, yes, sir, please, right? I mean, this constant reinforcement day after day, week after week. And then one of my brother-in-law brought my children's single adult nephew gave whoopee cushions to my boys for Christmas. Did they need to be taught how to use whoopee cushions? No, they take right to whoopee cushions. Oh, I got a problem? Uh-oh. You don't like where I put it?
No.
All right. I'm not wearing the ear thing. They want me to wear the postmodern ear thing, and I'm holding off against them. I told them if I do, I have to grow the soul patch. I'm told the soul patch is now called a theotis. The soul patch is so 2008. 2009 is a theotis, but I'm not getting one. But I was preaching at a church last year. I had the ear thing on, and it popped up off my ear in mid-sermon and flew into the air. So there's Matthew and Jonathan with whoopee cushions. Oh, great, right? It only takes one example of bad behavior, and they take to it immediately. Why? Because the playing field is grotesquely tilted in the direction of sin. And therefore, that being the case, we better get after it, right? Or it's like a garden that, shall we say, is slightly prone to weeds. And if we just go, oh, let's just see what grows. It's just going to be utterly infested. So it's necessary because of the nature of the human heart, Psalm 51, original sin. Therefore, discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will be a delight to your soul. Now, let me speak to grandparents here. I know your grandparents. I know that when I become a grandparent, I'm probably going to do the same thing that you're doing. But spoiling is, your children speaking to you now, the parents. Spoiling is bad. Because then they become rotten. No, we don't want rotten. And then you go, ha, 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 ha. No, we have to live with them. I'm joking a little bit with the grandparents. But we do need to discipline them. Ted Tripp puts it this way. The child's problem is not an information deficit. Now, there is an information deficit. That is not the essence of the problem. The problem is that he is a sinner. There are things within the heart of the sweetest little baby that allowed to blossom and grow to fruition will bring about eventual destruction. Now, that is a true statement. It's interesting. You know, there's another school of thought. I'm going to get to spanking in a few minutes. There's another school of thought that says, oh, you should never spank because it's all about self-esteem. And the key to, you know, righteousness and right behavior and right thinking is proper self-esteem. Somebody went into a prison and took a self-esteem test of, like, hardened criminals. They're off the charts in self-esteem. We need to bring the, humility, self-discipline, sacrifice. The wicked heart loves itself. Are you kidding me? We must bring it into discipline. And so parenting is necessary. And you're probably thinking of numerous proverbs I could have used that speak of this. Well, how do we discipline them? Okay, the primary means for disciplining small children is spanking. Biblically speaking and practically speaking, when we're talking little children, we're talking spanking is the primary means. Now, again, I've got a third grade boy and a fifth grade boy. Like, they don't get spanked that much. And you'd have to hit them really hard. I mean, my mommy told me last week that one of them got a spanking, and you know, she was so angry. I said, I hope you use something really big. Because it's kind of, at a certain point, it's not that productive. Well, we got those two little girls. We got a four-year-old and a six-year-old. Oh, they're right in the bullseye. And younger than that, too. So little children, we discipline them. We train their hearts. We bring them into submission with the sensation of pain upon their tender parts. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. But who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. The rod of correction brings wisdom to the child, Tripp says. There's one psalm that actually, the proverb, the Hebrew actually says, the blue of the wound imparts wisdom. So we're not talking about love taps here. The blue of the wound imparts wisdom. But Tripp says, the rod of correction brings wisdom to the child. It provides an immediate tactile demonstration of the foolishness of rebellion. It humbles the heart of the child. It makes him subject to parental instruction, renders the child compliant and ready to receive life-giving words. Now, you know, you probably have, if you're not raised in a Christian family, you probably have parents who tell you, oh, do you have to spank them? My mother, we visited them a couple years ago, and there's a lot of spanking going on with those little boys, I think, and she says to me, honey, do you have to spank them? I said, yes. And she goes, I don't remember spanking you. I said, that's simply a function of old age. I remember you chasing me around the house with a shoe, for which I thank you. What are you talking about? And she actually said, I don't remember ever spanking you. But it's, honestly, we are living in a bizarro world, the consequences of which years to come of children never being spanked are shocking. I have a good friend, a family member actually, who is a Christian, who works for social services in the Philadelphia area, and she's a speech therapist. But they're like trained to give just general family problem counseling, and she is required by the state of Pennsylvania to tell them that spanking is wrong. And I actually said to her, as a Christian, can you in good conscience tell people that? No, I really mean it. That is such a wicked thing to say. And she actually, I think she's wrestled with that. That is such a wicked thing to do, to tell people not to spank their children. Because otherwise there's no way their hearts can be brought into subjection. And so the Bible is so strong. Now notice what happens. The rod of correction brings wisdom to the child. It's a demonstration of the foolishness of rebellion. It's a cause-effect. What we want in all punishment scenarios, but certainly with little children, we want them to say, I shouldn't do that again. That thing which I did is manifestly bad. I don't want to do that again. This is the wisdom we want to get into them. Humbling the chart of the child, making him or her subject to instruction. We'll talk about that more. Imparts wisdom at the bottom of the purpose for spanking. The rod of correction imparts wisdom and produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. So I don't know if there's anybody here with little children who thinks that you shouldn't spank, but I want to implore you from the Word of God that it is your absolute duty as a parent to do so. And the consequences of you not doing so are shocking if you do not do this. What is the use of the rod? Well, it is a parental exercise. Discipline your son. I don't know that I have ever spanked a child that was not my own. And I am not saying it is categorically wrong. Remember when I was in third grade, the principal stalked the hallways with a large paddle. This was good. And we had order in my elementary school, and it had holes drilled in. Remember that? And that's okay with me, but I would not presume upon that if the parents, if there wasn't, you know, particular. I really don't think we, for instance, in our nursery, should be spanking somebody else's children. Your children come into our nursery, they should not be spanked by us. Spanking is a parental exercise within the parental relationship. I have to say, I'm not really sure I would want somebody else to spank my children, to be candid with you. Much as I say, you know, oh, the principal, okay, but I think it's a, when it comes to my own children, please let me know. I'll be happy to do it. The Bible says, discipline your son, your or your daughter, if we're going to do that. Spanking is an act of faith. We spank because the Word of God tells us to do so, and tells us that when we do so faithfully, God will bless it. And it does take faith. I mean, you think of beleaguered mommies. There's hardly a Christian man who's not gotten the phone call at 2 in the afternoon saying, I have spanked him, I have spanked her 9 times today. Here is what she just did. Head of the household, what would you like me to do? And this head of the household responds, dear beloved wife, for whom I will be praying immediately upon hanging up, I'm going to ask you to spank that child again. And we do it by faith, seeking God's blessing. Because this is not like, oh, this is going to make everything great. You just spank your child a couple of times, it's going to drive all that sin out of it. No, it is not. It is spiritual warfare. It is tenacious, nonstop, working against the flesh. And different children are different. I have some children who are more compliant than others so far. You know, actually, it's interesting. We're talking about at dinner tonight. Our children who are the most serene as babies are the naughtiest. And the ones who are the most difficult as babies, just our small sample size, are the most obedient as older kids. This year we hit the Phillips family receives its first teenager. So, still acting by faith. So, but God has promised to bless it. He's promised to give wisdom. He's promised to have a harvest of righteousness. We do it by faith in God's word. That is why we do it. It is a responsibility and an act of faithfulness. People make it sound like, oh, you're this twisted person. You really like to get your anger out. No parent enjoys spanking. It's a hassle. It's a pain. In fact, I find with 5 kids, we have to guard ourselves from slacking off with number 5. I mean, she's kind of getting. I mean, we had a conversation recently. We got to tighten it up on old number 5 because she's getting over, and we are not being faithful to her if we're not being just as firm. Or there's no way you're going to be as firm at number 5 as number 1. Just the you're so overzealous with number 1. We need to be faithful to that. It is a physical punishment. That's what it is. It is the careful, timely, measured, and controlled use of physical punishment. The whole point is to inflict pain upon the child, not to harm the child. And I'm going to get to the not, don'ts. But the whole point, I have to say, I have an approach that when you get bumped up to me, there's a premium you pay. No, really. Because the kids don't get spanked by me as much as mommy. I'm the man, and I want there to be like an exponential fear factor when it comes to me. We're really, and I actually have a very well trained wrist action. I'm able to do it quite effectively, I think, and it gets the job done. We are intending to induce not harm but pain upon the surface of the skin. That is how it works. And it is a rescue mission. We are rescuing the child from rebellion, from sin, back into a reconciled fellowship with the parent. We're rescuing them from sin, from rebellion, into that. The issue is never that you fail to obey me. The child has failed to obey what God has commanded. Well, let's do some rules for parenting children. This is straight out of Trip. I think it's very good. When to spank. When you give a directive to your child that he or she has heard and understood and has not obeyed without challenge, excuse, or delay, he or she needs a spanking. That's when to spank and be consistent. What are we saying here? This is not just little children. Punishment only does one thing well. it communicates the wisdom that says, I should stop doing something I'm doing. And the thing that we're really punishing is disobedience and willful disobedience. We don't punish lack of experience. We should not punish accidents. If you have a child who knocks a glass of milk off the table, now that can get frustrating day 42 when it's happened 42 days in a row, but that is not disobedience. It's clumsiness, you know, and maybe need to read, but that is not disobedience. And it should not be punished. There are, you might quickly pray and then say, dear, that's the 42nd day in a row. I mean, we had a time in our where, I mean, there was not a night that didn't go by with it. Just glasses going in all directions. And but that's not disobedience, and it should not be punished. Now, it can be disobedience if one's told, all right, everybody put your glass in a certain place, and they don't do that. But an accident is not disobedience. Not knowing how to do something. Child doesn't know how to tie his shoes, for instance. That is not disobedience. But once that child's been taught to tie his shoes, my rule at age 6, I require shoes to be tied. And I've got 3 out of 5 there. But I have to teach them to do it. And so not knowing how to do something is not punishable. They have to have heard it and understood it. Now, this means there's got to be a communicative process. Yes, if we're going to punish something, we should say to them, you are not to do this. Now, there might be a case when your child does something you've not warned them about, like run into the street, and you're going to punish them simply to teach them not to do that. But generally speaking, it's something we've told them they're not to do. They do it, or we've given them a command and they've not done it. And it should be, we need to teach obedience without back-talking and challenging, rife among little sinful children. Excuse delay. It's a very bad habit to say, I'm going to count to 5. Why are we counting to 5? So is 5 the standard? 5's the standard now. I'm going to count to 10 if you don't do it. I think it's very unwise. We need to be consistent. You're to come. Now, this is not to say, I had a child in school last year who's a 7-year-old boy, and he's just a little flighty. And I don't mind that, by the way. He's a 7-year-old little boy, and he's not being willfully disobedient. And he was, I got a note from his school the first week saying, would you please spank this child? So I called the teacher, and who was young and, shall we say, fervent. And she said, he's not obeying immediately. I said, can you give me an example? Well, I told them to take out their notebooks. I looked down, his notebook was not out. I'm sure you're aware of Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents, Lord. That's right. Have you read Ephesians 6:2? Do not exasperate your children. Do not place demands upon them that are contrary to their nature. Immediate does not mean mechanistically, robotically. It does not, you know, you have natural things, but the will should engage, and we need to train our children to obey. And particularly, how helpful will it be with little children? And in fact, one of the things that Puritans would emphasize, that you need to focus and do a very good job on your first child, because all the rest of those other children will do what? They will watch and follow. And so if you, and you got a lot of zeal, you've been sleeping. You know, it's your first child. You're slept up. you can do it. And you're going to train immediate obedience without, and that'll help with the other children. All right. How to spank? We take the child to a private place. No one likes to be punished in front of other people. No one likes to be humiliated before others. And one thing we don't want to happen is we don't want other garbage to seep in to the training encounter that's going to confuse the way they think about it. And public shaming is going to make them think other things other than what we want them to say, which is, I shouldn't have done that, and I don't want to do it again. Next time, I'm not going to do that. I'm getting spanked because I did so-and-so. That's what we want them to think. And so we don't want to mix up other things in it. We take them to a private place. And I always take my children out of the room they're in to spank them. In fact, for me, it's pretty much the living room, or if that's not available, it's my bedroom. And the children kind of know. I'll say, so-and-so, please meet me in the living room. And that may be a reproof for one of the older children, or it may be a spanking for one of the other younger children. but if that's going to be a busy place, I'll take him into my bedroom. We tell the child what he or she did or failed to do. Daddy's going to spank you now because you yelled no to your mommy. And you may not yell no to your mommy. Or because your mommy told you to do so-and-so and you did not do that. Or you have been told not to grab the toy from your brother's hand and to smack him over the head. And you did that. I mean, all these things that go on and on and on. We tell them what they did or did not do. And it is essential that we acknowledge, get an acknowledgement from the child. Did you do that? Did you do that? And of course, by the way, this assumes that you know what they did, which is valid 98% of the time. And my little kids are such bad liars. It's great. Isn't it sad when your child lies to you the first time? Right around age 4 for our kids. You're kind of like, oh, that's so sad. Now come here. Because that's lying is bad. And they're bad liars. I mean, I'm assuming you know what happened, and 98% of the time you do. It does not take, you know, some detective. So we want to secure you were yelling no to your mommy. No, I wasn't. Oh, no. You. And I have spanked children to get them to acknowledge the thing I came there to spank them for. But they must, it's all part of the, see, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the will to yield to authority. Remind the child of your purpose in spanking. I am spanking you. I do think this is very helpful. Because it also helps with the anger issue that you deal with, that, you know, in terms of not just whack. There's a difference between spanking your children and beating your children. And probably all parents have beaten their children at various times. I mean, not. So, but we don't want to beat our children. We want to spank our children. And so I am spanking you so that you will learn not to commit this sin and so that your heart will yield to God's authority. Do you understand? Tell the child how many swats he or she will receive. I do that. I think I do that almost all the time. I think it's very helpful because you're going to... I'm going to spank you 3 times. And it helps them to kind of know what the deal is and not fight me, that kind of thing. I think Ted Tripp's right. Lower their drawers. I'm talking about little children. Well, the reason we got to lower their drawers is for the effect. I mean, it hurts. I mean, you can't quite get that same hand-to-bottom action with pants on. But we don't want to shame them. And as they get older, as we're teaching them modesty, I would never, ever pull down. Actually, my 3 older kids, I would never pull down their pants to spank them. They're 3rd grade and up. I don't know where that boundary is, but my older kids are to it. My little girls are not. Those girls have their pants dropped to spank them. I think a lot of it's their own perception of it. And when modesty is in play, I think we stop doing it. But those little children, it's valuable to, and I do want, you know, they say when training a dog, which is not training a child, you should not use your hand, you should use, I don't know, with a child, you want to use your hand as much as possible. You want the connection between me and you. That you want that. By the way, I do think that you can safely use other implements as they get older. But I pretty much use my hand all the time. After you've spanked them, affirm your love and your desire for the child to obey. And here's the thing. Check that the relationship is restored. All right? So you say, now Daddy has spanked you. And do you acknowledge that you did the wrong? Are you going to say no and yell to mommy again? If the answer is anything other than no, then what do we need to do? Spank them again. Now, this, by the way, is why this is the problem with timeout. Timeout does not deal with the rebellion of the heart. I think timeout is fairly dangerous because you say, little Johnny, time out for 10 minutes. And what little Johnny, what's he doing up there? He's stewing and think evil thoughts about you. And how, you know, he's going to rebel against you. And when the clock gets done, he just comes back in. And we've done nothing to deal with the rebellion of his heart. And so we affirm our love, our desire for them to obey, and we check to make sure that their heart is yielded to that. We pray with the child. And then, of course, we're always going to tell them about, I forgive you, Daddy loves you, Jesus paid for your sins, and so we're not going to talk about this anymore.
until you, unless you should foolishly do it again, which is about 99% likely. But we make it a gospel exercise. Now, see, when we do this, we're actually strengthening the parental bond. I did see when I taught at West Point, I taught organizational leadership and organizational dynamics, but I was in the psychology department, which is an interesting experience. I played on the behavioral sciences and leadership department softball team. Half of our team were psychology PhDs. And one time, I'm not embellishing, our softball coach came and said, "Does anybody have any childhood issues around batting order?" And I'm going, no, the fastest guy get bats first. Okay. It's not about psychology. But I did see a study once I thought was very interesting, that a good study was done talking about the bond between parent and child. So this is a psychology study, just observing. And I think sometimes they'll do a good job of that. And it showed that the bond between parent and child was the strongest when the parent was A, very involved in the child's life, and B, very firm and consistent with discipline. That was the top quadrant. The worst quadrant was neither. Not disciplining and not involved. Disciplined and not involved did better than not disciplined and involved. But it shows that parents who are nurturing their children and also firmly disciplining them have the strongest bond with their child. Properly done, God blesses this. Again, we do this by faith, and God blesses it. Why do we spank? God commands it, and it enables you to deal with the issues of the heart. Last slide. Essential spanking do's and don'ts, or don'ts. We do not have the right to strike in anger at our children. And let's not kid ourselves. This requires some discipline. I have spoken and I have acted in anger towards my children. I think in every case I was ashamed of myself for having done so afterwards. And in every case I looked back on it afterwards and I saw that what I had done had not advanced the cause I'm seeking, but it hindered it. And so words spoken in anger, and I have gone to my children. Actually, I don't think it's happened all that recently, but I would be lying to you. I think any of us would say, if raising children is a passionate thing, and you sin against your children, when we sin against our children, we confess our sins to them and ask them to forgive us through the blood of Christ. But we do not have the right to act in anger. Spanking should not be done in anger. Or we do not strike our children indiscriminately. This is not us wailing on our children, you know. You see the videos in the Walmart, you know, bathroom of somebody pounding their child. Well, that's, of course, terrible. Not the venting of frustration. It is not retribution. I am not doing this to you because of something you did to me. I'm trying not to be too autobiographical, but it's hard not to talk about things going on. We've got each issue going on right now with our youngest, getting up in the middle of the night and getting into our bed. This has the effect of waking us up every night. I mean, every night for like the last 3 weeks. And so I've been saying to her, I've been threatening her before we go to bed, which I think is the right thing to do. But I've caught myself saying, you are waking mommy up, which I'm even more upset because then she doesn't go to bed for 2 hours. She's exhausted. Daddy's exhausted. You better not do that. I'm going to spank you if you wake me up. We want to be careful with that. Daddy has told you will sleep through the night, you will obey Daddy, and I'm going to spank you if you disobey. In general, it's not because I'm getting back at you for something you did at me. And I think even the language of, you know, boy, I did this. I had this. I was up all night when you were colicky, and I'm going to get even with you. This does not build the parent-child bond we so greatly need. Not retribution, not the inflicting of physical harm. Spanking is not possible for spanking properly done to have a physical harm to your child. It's just not what it is. And so it's not the risk of that. Anything that's physically harming our children is not productive discipline. And it's not to be done publicly. What's the number one reason why you should not do it today publicly? Because you will be arrested. And I'm serious. I'm sorry. Do not take your child into the Walmart bathroom and spank your child. They have video cameras, and you don't know. what some zealous secular humanist is going to do. I think that you should spank your children only in some, you know, at home, in the church. Of course, I have an office here. but in some controlled setting where, you know, again, we're not trying to publicly shame them. But I think the biggest reason is we are just not living in a society where you can publicly spank your children. I have asked myself, what would I do if the state of South Carolina, probably the last of the 50 states that would do this, praise the Lord, were to pass a law outlawing spanking? I think I would violate the law. God commands me to do it. I must obey God. I have a responsibility to my children. But should I be wise about it? Yeah, I should be discreet about it. But I don't think the state has the right, and boy, they might do this, but should not be done publicly. And we practice spanking biblically, not in the way we were spanked by our parents, per se, not the way we saw other people do it, in accordance with the Bible. I have a few minutes left, and this means I'll go next week to middle childhood. I had 2 weeks blocked off for this, but I got this done tonight. So next week I'll move to the middle group. Any questions on disciplining children, small children, training them to obedience, and especially the practice of spanking? Henry? Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think, well, first of all, I mean, I point out the text does say the blue of the wound. I mean, it's the pain of it. We should steer clear of anything that leaves marks so that we're not in danger of doing anything that would be harmful, and we have a legal environment that would be dangerous. A closed fist would be wrong. And I do think, I mean, but, you know, people, what about spoons? Belts, whatever. I mean, the goal is to inflict effective pain. If I were to spank Matthew now, which I have not done in years, and reproof, and I'll talk about reproof next week, I mean, I would have to use something to make it even worth it. I mean, it'd have to be my belt involved or whatnot. I don't really, I've never done the belt, so I don't have confidence in my ability with the belt, but the point is we are not inflicting harm. We are inflicting, in a safe manner, the sensation of pain on the parts of the body that God has very thoughtfully provided for us. Dan? Right. Well, again, I think you're right. I'm just saying don't inflict harm. So I'm not saying it's wrong to use any of those things. Clearly in the Bible, they used a rod. I suppose I'm responding in part to the legal environment where if you leave a mark on your child, you may lose the right to your child, and I'm concerned about that. And I think you can get the job done. The point is pain, not harm. So exercise wisdom and judgment. But, yeah, I don't think we have the right to say that you can't use some implement, non-spiked implement. And and the Bible does say the blue of the wound. But, again, we're not doing it to harm them. We're doing it to inflict pain on them. Julie? It's true. It does. Well, I have to think about that. I got to tell you what. My hand distributes both love and correction. I don't know what yours does. And feel free to use the rod. And I think the point is, it is not love taps. It is not love taps, no doubt about that. And so, what kind of rod do you all have? I presume you have a rod. A wooden spoon? Not one of those plastic spatula things. Does it really? Wooden? I hadn't thought about that. Maybe it's true.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Did you hear that? The benefit, she says, of using a spatula or some other rod implement is that you have to go get it. And it puts you in a deliberate mode, right? Spatula, huh? But not plastic. Hanford chef. Perhaps you can provide us the item number on that. Wow. Yeah, I thought about a paddle with my boys. But they're so responsive to reproof that it really is not worth it. But I appreciate that. Carrie. Beth Lauder over there. Oh, hey, Beth. Well, you have to know your own child, and we're dealing in the level of principle. I think the bottom line principle is we must punish in painful ways. My concern with the way timeout is usually used is there's no dealing with the heart in many cases. There's a situation's being diffused, and the child is alone doing what is my concern? Thinking what? Well, probably not repenting is my guess. Now, I don't know. So I would just say these are concerns. I mean, I've had people say to me, my child is completely immune to spanking. My 3-year-old boy or whatnot. Well, I mean, the scripture says spank. Do not spare the rod. So I'm doubtful that we should give that up. But obviously you need to be thoughtful about your children. It's my child, the guy says, my son. And so you need to understand the child. But the thing is, we must punish in a painful way that does not harm them, that redeems them out of rebellion into a submissive, restored relationship with the parent. Yeah. Well, like I got my only concern is, and I'm not sure how you do it, is what are they thinking while that's going on? And is the heart hardening there and engaging in self-pity? Which Satan loves self-pity at all ages. Feeling sorry for yourself and indignant of those in proper authority. That would be my main concern. So I would just think about that as it goes. Linda. Yeah, I mean, it's a little maddening. The question is, how do you know when sibling fighting? A good question is, what about group punishments? I'm into group punishments, personally. I am. Not so much spanking, but, removal of privileges, and you're in it together, straighten it out yourselves, and peer pressure. When I was in the Army, you can't abuse it. But skillfully used, group punishments could be very effective, and I've incorporated that into my parenting. But I think, we want to punt, and little children, you have little children, we want to tell them, and of course we can't, we can't have them in these little straitjacket behavioral boxes where we're going to be spanking them nonstop. It's the will that's rebelling, but we want to say, you will not grab the toy and yank it out of your sister's hand. And when you do that, we've had something of an issue with that of late, you are going to get spanked for doing it. And so don't do it. Your little heart wants to do it. Don't die. So now all of this, I'm trying to break down the behaviors in the sibling squabbling. But this is why you have Mel to put his arm around you and say, honey, spank her again. And I actually do use I've never given group spankings, but group forfeit of privileges. Oh, yeah. And they go, it's not fair. Hey, we're family. So get your acts together down there and clean yourselves up and be the team. Yeah, Andy? Okay. Well, it's, yes, I know. And it makes it less effective. Anybody who studies punishment will say that the immediacy between the event and the punishment has a great effect. And so, but you know, just, I'm sorry, can't do it. So we got to do, and it's suboptimal is you pull them out right then and you, like, inform them, all right, you have earned the spanking. And, you know, hopefully you live relative. Fortunately, we all live close to Walmart since they build one every few blocks now. But it certainly makes it less effective. I do not think we live in a social environment where you can spank your children in a restaurant, a public place. If you need to, you leave it. The only thing I do is I tell them, you've earned it, you're going to get it, and then I'm trying to, you know, remember, you know, I've got to spank them when I get home. But it's suboptimal, no doubt. Yeah, Kevin? When they are willfully disobeying. And so, I mean, it's hard for me to see a one-year-old. Is a one-year-old willfully? I mean, I think it's two. I mean, for us, it's been right around two in practice, maybe a little before then. But you know, for us, it's like you're going, did you see that? That was willful disobedience. Whoa, did you see that? Whoa, we got to spank this child. Oh, bummer. I mean, you know, she's 17 months old. But it's when that willful disobedience, and for me, it's been between 18 months and 2 years. Before that, I'm not sure that the cognitions are this. Now, that's a matter of prudence from my own experience. But you read the Bible to them before then. But, yeah. Maybe. Well, it's when it's a willful, conscious act of defiance. You sure? So you carried your spoon with you. Okay. I'm actually somewhat chagrined by Julie's point that you know, the Bible does specify the implement. That may be a good point. I'm just so good with the hand. I want credit for it. But I hope this has been helpful to you and helpful to others. We must train the weeds of our children's heart. And let me, as the last word, let me just say, there is a sense we're in it together. Let's pray for one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's not be self-righteous with one another. We've all known people who had one easy child and they became a menace to the church. As they're rebuking mothers in the nursery about how, and I've always, you know, wickedly prayed for God to give them an unruly child to humble their hearts. let's not be judgmental of others. Let's encourage one another in a biblical way. And I think too, this is one of the areas where we need to be praying for and encouraging the mothers of the church. The fact of the matter is that they are 99% of the time going to be with them more regularly than the men are. And I want to say to husbands, you must be involved in the spanking process of your children, even if you're not doing it. I mean, many a time I've said, you know, when I get home tonight, I'm going to ask your mommy if she spanked you or not. Particularly when I can tell that Sharon's wearing down or the kids are really getting their hearts out of control or whatnot, particularly two little boys who need a man, a father in their face. In fact, yesterday I was going out and I said, when I get back, I'm going to get a report from your mother and I'm going to insist that she tell me the truth. And if it's a bad report, you're going to answer to me. And then I speak German to them. Verstehen Sie? And they said, jawohl, father. But
Fathers, we must be involved both supporting our wives, but also interacting with our children. And I have spanked my children simply for, you know, and I've told them in advance, I'm going to ask your mother, and if you were a problem today, and she tells me you're a problem, when I get home, you're going to get a spanking from me. Just kind of, I think that's appropriate. It's the teamwork approach of husband and wives. Very hard on mothers. They get discouraged. We need to help them, and but we also need to insist that they persevere. So, well, let me pray. Father, we pray for our children, and I want to pray for the parents of the church. I pray for the parents of little children tonight, Lord, that you would give us faith and wisdom, and that we would stand together, Lord, and encourage one another. And we pray, Lord, that you would do what we can't do, that you would bless. But we know that you do. You would bless what we do in faith so that your Spirit applies it to little hearts. Lord, we trust that as we obey what you've given us to do, that you will bless it. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.